happy to be here this morning. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're asking, Lord, for you to watch over us today, dear God. We're asking, Lord, for you to be with us in this service. Lord, may, Father, that you anoint me in a way to where, Lord, I'd be able to be a help to the people, Lord. We ask for you to come, Lord, and speak to us. We ask that you receive all glory, Lord, from this service. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I want to read from Romans chapter 9, starting at verse 14. Well, Lord willing, be finishing up the message we were speaking on of great mercy. Today would be verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then is it not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that sheweth mercy? For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and one unto dishonor? What if God, willing to shew his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his mercy unto the vessels of mercy, riches of his glory unto the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared us unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. You may be seated. The scripture we know, we were studying on Thursday night, the scripture speaks of predestination. And then Paul is saying here, is there unrighteousness with God? And just want to say this, predestination is not God all of a sudden deciding that he likes you or he doesn't like you. The Bible says in the verse 11, said, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. It wasn't based on their good works or their evil works. Predestination is God's love is not under a condition of good works or evil works. He says in verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Now, God doesn't go forth with the intent necessarily to harden someone. God sent Moses. He already had given Moses the word of deliverance, and he told Moses that when you present this before Pharaoh, I'll harden his heart. And he said his heart's going to be hardened. Every time Moses came and presented the word of the Lord before Pharaoh, Pharaoh hardened his heart even more. God already knew the reaction that Pharaoh was going to have to the word when it crossed his path. God knows the reaction that you'll have when the word crossed your path. And he's not purposely hardened in anyone, but his word must be spoke. And God knows how each one will react to it. God says, I'll make known my power through Pharaoh. His power was his word coming to pass. And it didn't matter whether Pharaoh stood against it or not, it was going to come to pass. Romans 9 and 19 says, thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? Whom hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? The same word that spoke mercy to the children of Israel, that same word hardened Pharaoh. It wasn't a different word. It was the same word that brought deliverance to the children of Israel, hardened Pharaoh's heart. The same word that speaks mercy to you and I, others, it hardens. Correction brings submissiveness unto the true children of God. But those that aren't the children of God, correction actually just hardens them, makes them harder. It's the same word. It's not a different Jesus. It's the same Jesus. Said, whom he will he hardeneth. Who is he? The word. So it's the same word received. So it depends on the receptiveness of the individual to the word that's working on their life. It says of the same lump. But not all clay is receptive to the working of the word. Some clay is receptive to the molding and working of the word. I'm talking about people now. Some, they're not receptive to it. And it doesn't matter. We're all the same lump. It doesn't matter what nationality, race, color, or region. We're all made up of 16 elements of the earth. We're all made up of potash and calcium, petroleum, and so on. And it ain't worth no more than about 84 cents. It's not the flesh of the individual that makes the difference. In the Laodicean Church Age, in the Church Age book, it says, here and now is set forth the love of God. He desire in love a family of his own, a family of sons like himself. There before him lies all mankind as one lump of clay. Out of the same lump he'll make vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. Now, it'd be easy for some folks to think, well, they have an excuse. Well, I don't have a chance. God just made me this way. But the same word comes to everyone. The same word that came to Abel came to Cain. But what it did to Cain was it made him even more angry. You think about it, it was real simple. I mean, why would it make Cain angry? He says, look, if you worship this way, I'll accept you. If God would say that to someone who actually is his child, if you do it this way, I'll accept you. Then the child will do it that way. But Cain, it just made him all the more angry. If you, his word comes to all, those who do not submit to his word, they remain as they are. And they're set forth as vessels of dishonor. But if you allow those that allow the word to work in their life, they are molded into vessels of honor. Romans 14:4 says, every man to his own master he standeth or falleth. I want to continue to read here from the Church Age book. It says, out of the same lump he will make vessels unto honor and unto dishonor. The choosing will be his own. And those chosen ones born of his spirit will be trained to conform to his image in their walk. He reproves with all longsuffering and gentleness and mercy. He chastens with nail-scarred hands. Sometimes this potter must take the vessel he's working on. Now he's speaking about the elect, the chosen, the receptive. Let's put it that way. He's speaking of the receptive ones. Sometimes the potter must take the vessel he's working on and thoroughly break it down in order that he may rebuild it exactly as he desires it. So you mean to tell me somebody that's been sitting around the messy for 20 years plus, God would have to break them all the way down and rebuild? Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. I like that song. Over and over, he molds me and makes me. Sometimes he has to break it all down and start it over again. Why is that? Sometimes the vessels of honor might have been sitting under the wrong vessel, the wrong ministry. And if that's the wrong ministry, it's going to have a different slant. And it won't be molding us right. What if God, willing to show his mercies in verse 22, and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory unto the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called. God sets forth, as we said, the word of mercy, and he knows how each one will react to it. He knows there's some in the congregation that will accept it. And he knows sometimes there's some that will totally reject what's being said. But he knows that those that will accept it, that he can bring correction to them, and it'll mold them into vessels of honor. So God endures the vessels of dishonor, sitting there like bullfrogs on a log, pouting during the service. He'll endure them just so he can mold those that are receptive. Lamentations 4:2 says, the precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how they esteem as earthen pitchers the work of the hands of the potter. The real correction of the word isn't scraping and irritating to the surface of his children. The real correction of the word is God will cut you right down to the heart, right down to the crick, right down where the root of it is. And cut it right out of our lives. God doesn't give up on us. Aren't you glad? I'm glad God doesn't give up on us. Amen? Sometimes you think as vessels of mercy that we might resist a little bit? Yeah, because we're in this human flesh. That's just part of being clay. But the potter will keep working with it. Happy for that. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, God first corrects us with the word. And if we don't take correction from the word being sent, the preaching, then God will send circumstances and situations our way that will effectively stop you. He will send situations your way to bring correction. But he will stop you. This makes me think about, you know, on there in Corinthians 11, where Paul talks about, says, for this they not discerning the Lord's body, for this cause many sleep. Brother Branham says that meant God took them on before their time. And I thought about that brother that he called him by name, Brother Ramsey. Brother Branham says here, he says he started going down and got sick. God couldn't speak to him. I warned him. I done everything I could. Brother Smith went down and warned him. Everybody tried to do everything they could for him. Still, he shook his head. What happened? He took sick and died, and that showed what he was, a saved man. If God could not make him bring him into obedience, he'll take him off the earth and bring him home. That's exactly what the Bible said. That's what the Bible promised. If you won't stand correction, you've got to come home. So God cannot lose you after he saved you, but he can shorten your days here. That's mercy. Brother, I don't know if you know the story of Brother Ramsey, but Brother Ramsey had backslid. And he actually went out and was drinking, and he wouldn't take correction, but he was saved. And since he wouldn't take correction, Brother Bram said, God just went ahead and then took him off the scene. But you don't got to get, you don't even got to get that bad. All you got to do is just don't take the correction. And if you belong to God, he'll take you. So we want to be able to take correction, that our days not be shortened. In his message of his wonders to perform, he says, when it's written, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Many times, maybe the lash of his corrections laying upon us, and we wonder, how could it be working for the good? But after all, it's over. We look back and we praise him for it because he knows we do not. We just act obedient to his word and to his chastening. He never did chastise us unless we had need of it. And sometimes we might think we wasn't guilty. Sometimes we might think we wasn't guilty, he said, but he knows. Amen. You might be able to fool some of the people, and you might be able to fool me, but you can't fool God. He knows just how to do it to make it all work to the good. What a beautiful thing it is just to lay your life in his hands and say, here I am, Lord. Just use me now. Lead me, guide me, direct me in the way that thou pleasest unto thee. And then don't murmur. No matter what the path is, stay with it anyhow, and God will work it all right. The footsteps of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. That scripture is true. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I want to read starting at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation, which Paul is referring to. If you want to write this down, Paul's referring to Proverbs 3, 11 through 12 here. He says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. This brings an identification, whether the response or receptive to the correction brings an identification. Brings an identification if God even bothers to correct you. Look, those that don't belong to God, sometimes you'll see them going on the way and you'll think, why don't Brother Jerry say something? Well, I'm waiting on God. And if God doesn't move me to say something, I'm not going to say anything. And sometimes you'll see, well, they'll end up, what'll happen? They'll end up, they'll just leave. They'll go right on out. Well, why didn't God bring them correction? Because they weren't sons. It says in the Bible, one place says, they went out from us because they wasn't part of us. Chastening means severe discipline with words or reproof or admonition. Scourge means a source of widespread affliction, suffering, devastation. Verse 9, Hebrews 12 says, furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. That means after their own opinion. Based on their own opinion, the fathers and mothers of our flesh, it was based on their opinion of what they believed or thought was good for us. So it says, they chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Sometimes mom and dad can be wrong. I know that's kind of hard. And of course, it's hard to say when you know you got children out there to say, wait a minute, maybe you're wrong this time. No, you need to respect your mom and dad. If they're wrong, God will bring it around right. But he's never wrong. When he corrects us, he never corrects us the wrong way. And he's never wrong about us needing the correction. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Brother Branham says in one place, if my child does something wrong, it's my duty as a father to correct them. It's also the duty of the mother. Mom and dad's got to work together. You can't have one being the bad guy and the other being the good guy. They both got to support one another and work together. You can't have one that babies them, lets them by with everything, and the other one that just brings all the rod and correction. It's got to be support from both sides. I remember growing up, Mom would correct me. But I always hated when she says, I'm going to tell your daddy when he gets home. Boy, I didn't want that. I somehow tried to talk Mom out of that. Mom, I'm so sorry. Don't tell him. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. This is verse 11. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I wrote down here what it says in the Diglot. I don't know how many of you have ever studied from the Diglot, but it puts it from translated from the Greek. It puts it sometimes in the words a little bit easier to understand it. But it says, but all discipline, this is verse 11, but all discipline indeed, as it respects the present, seems to be not to be of joy, but of grief. Yet afterwards it returns the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Questions and Answers, COD Book 59. Abraham says, God give us the perfect assurance that we are his children. And as his children, he corrects us just like I correct my children. You correct your children. When in the wrong, we correct them. If my children does wrong, then it's my duty as a father to correct them. Then if God's children does wrong, it's his duty as a father, and he will correct you. Just remember that. You'll be corrected. But as long as you're his child, the world better keep their hands off of you. For he said, it's better that a millstone were hanged about their neck and were drowned in the depths of the sea than to bring an offense upon one of these little ones that believe in me. That's right. Then Brother Branham says, what is that judgment going to be? In Ephesians Church Age, he says, he knows how to encourage us in the right matters and discourage us in the wrong matters. God knows exactly what it'll take. We're not every one of us the same. You that have raised larger families, you know that you knowing that you're correcting your children, not all your children was the same. Some of them needed a firmer hand than some of the others. Some of them were harder headed. Some of them seemed like had a little stronger will. Some seemed like, no matter what, how cute they was and how cute their smile was, they was always getting into trouble. God knows how we are, and he knows how to bring correction to each and every one of us. And I'll tell you this, God's not going to lose you. No matter to what degree he has to bring the correction, God's not going to lose you. Revelations chapter 4 of the Revelations of Jesus Christ series. Brother Branham says, sometime if something operating has to be called or something about it called down or something out on that order, the person that's got the gift, I was talking about someone working that has a gift of some sort that works in the church, and it could be, you know, speaking in tongues, prophecy, or whatever. Any of those gifts is what he's referring to. And he says, and if that person, something has to be called down or set in order, and that person has got the gift, if it rejects it, refuses it, just remember, the gift wasn't right. It wasn't God in the first place. The Spirit of God always is ready for correction. Sweet, humble, and willing. See, if it stands up and says, I'll do it anyhow, you know how sometimes, just remember, arrogant spirits are not of God. Arrogant spirits are not of God. Now, someone say, well, when the Spirit moves on me, I just can't help it. No. The Bible says that that gift is subject to the Word. Amen. God's covenant with Abraham said, God doesn't make any difference between his children. Every son that cometh to God must first be tried and chastised. You get it? First be tried and chastised, corrected, child trained, schooled. Everyone, not one exception, every son. Have you went through a trial? Have you went through tribulation? Have you suffered persecution? Then if you've endured these things, you are the real children of God. Now, not every time that we're going through persecution is it about correction. Not every time you're going through persecution doesn't mean, well, you're doing something wrong. But it does mean that God's just molding something in us. There's something that God's molding is what it does mean. But when you can't bear chastisement, when the rod comes down heavy and you run off back into the world, the Bible says you're illegitimate children, not the children of God. For when a man's born of the Spirit of God, he expects those things, and he loves those things. The Bible says that the trials that come upon us, the fiery trials, is more precious than gold to us. Think of it. Now, a real child of God, Brother Branham says, will take the correction. We'll say, yes, Father. I know that's your word. I've got to straighten up, and I've got to do what's right. And the real child will accept it. They'll accept the chastening. They'll accept the rebuking. I look back in my life as the son of my parents, and I think about the times that they corrected me. And did they, you know, you could ask me, well, did they ever make any mistakes? Yeah, it's not a easy thing raising a teenager. And when they're born, they don't come with manual, you know, an owner's manual. They don't come with an owner's manual that has a troubleshooting chart in the back. It, you know, you got to pray and you got to trust God, and sometimes we're humans. We're subject. We can make mistakes. I made mistakes. I think about myself as a father. There was times I made mistakes, but I tell you this, I always came back to my children. If I had corrected too harsh, or if I made a mistake one time correcting the wrong child. You ever done that? The one child gets blamed, and you don't know it, but they ain't the one that even done it. And one time, Jessica did something, and she blamed it on John, and boy, I whipped him good. And then come to find out, it wasn't even John. So you make mistakes. You know, I had to go back and correct that mistake. Man, I had to whip the right one. But I look back, correction my dad, mom gave me, and I realized they were doing the best they could to try to train me the right way, give me the right guidance, so I didn't end up wrong. And I'm thankful to God. I don't have no criminal record. That is because of mom and dad. And I don't know, I guess the grace of God, because it wasn't because I was good. Put it that way. It wasn't because I didn't deserve it, maybe sometime or other. But I'm thankful. My dad one time gave me testimony how he wanted to go to this school function they was having. It was at the schoolhouse, but it was some function that after school hours and all that. And I think it might have been I don't know if it was a dance or what it was. But Dad was wanting to go, and my grandfather asked him who he was going to go with, and he named two or three other boys he was going to go with. And my grandfather told him, said, "Nope, you're not going to go." And Dad said, "Yes, I am." And so Dad went and got ready, and when it come time to go for them to pick him up, while he came out, he was dressed and ready. My grandfather said, "What you doing?" Dad said, "Well, I'm going." My grandfather said, "No, you're not." And he got up and he started to take his belt off. My dad said, "No, you ain't going to do that." My grandfather said, "Okay." So he started putting his belt on. Dad said he thought, "Well, I've got the best of him now, you know." He said by the time he got his belt buckled, he hit me. And he said, and I went flying across the room, hit a wall, and slid down the wall. He said, "Well, if you won't take a whipping like a child, you have to take one like a man." I think it's your child abuse today for something like that. But he hit Dad. And then he asked Dad, said, "You still going?" Dad said from the floor, he looked up at him and said, "No, I've changed my mind." But he said them boys went out and got into a bunch of trouble. And Dad said if he'd have been with them, he'd have been right in it with them. And later on, them boys ended up, some of them going to jail and things. And over the things they did. And Dad gave me that testimony and said, you know, his dad stopped him from going. And because he knew them boys, he knew their families, knew the reputation of them families. And that's why he had told him, "You ain't going with them." We cannot take chastisement, he says, this is in God's covenant with Abraham. Then we're not children of God. We become illegitimate children. A real child of God doesn't mind the whipping rod, the chastisement, doesn't mind the disappointments. He wades right on just the same. God said so. It's in his heart and nothing can move it. He's just there to stay. I think about all the times that God's had to correct me in my life. And I'll tell you what, friends, it's been worth it. I'm glad God didn't let me just go. I'm glad that God corrected me. I am where I am today. I am what I am today because of the corrections of God. And Paul says in Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. Some men they follow after. I don't want mine following after me. But what is it? It's according to a person's perception of the correction. The faith of Abraham, Brother Bram says, chastised. Did you ever have any of it? Child training, bringing you up, giving you a little protoplasm and stimulation once in a while by the gospel, making you correction. My daddy was awful good at that. Yes, sir. He believed in the golden rule, had it laid up over the door, had all 10 commandments out on it. A hickory stick about that long, brush on the end of it. I tell you, that made discipline in the Branham home. But we love him. What would we have been if he hadn't have did that? That's the way God is. He brings discipline to his children, trying them, whipping them when they're wrong. I'm happy that my Heavenly Father gives whippings to those who are wrong and corrects me when I'm wrong, gives me whippings and makes me straighten up and walk like I should walk. He that spareth the rod, Proverbs says, hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastises him early. Do you know that the name Jezebel means chaste? We would never think about naming one of our children Jezebel just because that woman that it's talking about in the Bible. But the name itself actually means chaste. But she never did live up to her name. She would not take correction. And I think to many, her name took on a whole new, that name took on a whole new meaning just because of her. Jacob, in Genesis 33, he erected an altar and he called it Elohe Israel, which is the God who is able to help me live according to my name. The God who is able to help me live according to my name. I pray that God helps us live according to our name, the bride. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Mom and dad used to have one place we lived. They had flowers, a flower garden. They raised flowers. They had a garden to grow vegetables too, and they have it right up around the house. They had planted flowers. And one time, I don't remember how old he was, but my brother got out there and he had a baseball bat and he was batting the tops off the flowers. And dad caught him. And dad went and pulled his belt off and he said, when are you going to start listening to me, Samuel? And Samuel said, right now, Daddy. Right now. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now that doesn't mean, it's not talking about beating rod, doesn't mean abuse. Like I said before, you never whip them out of anger, because you'll whip them too hard. Now, it says, what makes God rejoice over all this? It's not the correction God rejoices over, but it's the results, our receptiveness and change. But if, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. That's when God rejoices. Now, God first offers instructions. Then we're given an opportunity to conform to that. And if we don't, then he'll whip us. Now, both those things, instruction and whipping, sometimes can come from preaching. But then, if we won't take that, then God will send things. The Bible says, even evil spirits to torment us, to trouble you. Why? That we be not condemned with the world. Psalms 25:6 says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. When we get to heaven, God's not going to be sitting around talking about all the times he had to correct us. No, he'll be praising us and handing out rewards for our yielding and our changing, the achievement in our lives that he brought out. Amen. I was just a child when I felt the Savior's leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. And for the cause of Christ, I spent my days believing that what he'd have me be is who I am. And as I come to see the weaker side of me, I've realized his grace is what I'll need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. For God so loved the world, he sent his son to save us. From the cross he built a bridge to set us free. But deep within our hearts, there's still a war that rages and makes the sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell upon the crucifixion day, the light of hope seemed oh so far away. As evil tried to stop redemption's flow, mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. And now when heaven looks at me, it's through the blood of Jesus, reminding me of one day long ago, when mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face, and darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. Hey, man, you can stand. Amen. It's Nate, Brother Nate prepares to come. Amen. Amen. I just couldn't help but think about that song while I was studying this message. And God bless you. Amen.
Sing, thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. thank him for so much, to praise him for, you see, it's been so good to me. And when I think of all he's done, everything's robbed me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Well, I've got so much to thank him for.
Dismiss this time. Let's have a brother Paul.